This week on football, Sheffield United players clash. Russell Martin snubs the Millwall goalkeeper's handshake. Klopp's kids beat the blue £1 billion bottle jobs. Goalkeeper gets mad. And look closely to see what happens here as River Plate take on Boca Juniors. Welcome to this week's episode of Goalposts for Jumpers. It is me, your host, Alex. If you're wondering why I'm laughing, I made myself laugh when I was trying to read the script. And now I can't stop laughing, but I'm going to power through it anyway. Coming up on this week's... I'm by myself. Like, there's no one here, and I'm making myself laugh. It's pathetic. Coming up on this week's show, we have got a two lies and a truth. I've got a fan-captured goal of the week as well. We will be reviewing my last weekend's treble and looking at my next weekend's treble. Last week came in, so it would be a good one to have a look at. Wait for that. That is at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned. First, I think it's best that we acknowledge a player, not just a player, a man who's been consistently at the top end, the world-class bracket. A man who's built for big occasions and maybe perhaps the most two-footed player of his generation, Son Heung-min. This is a guy who, I mean, for me, has been arguably top two or three in his position since he came into the Premier League. For the best part of a decade, his standards have not dropped. And when I say he's maybe the best two-footed player of his generation, he has 46 goals with his left foot and he has 65 goals with his right foot in the Premier League. It's 115 goals in total, 65 right, 46 left. But not just that, he has 58 Premier League assists as well. He has 115 goals, more than Cristiano Ronaldo, more than Didier Drogba, 58 Premier League assists, more than Scholes and more than Eden Hazard. I'm not saying that Son is underrated, but maybe it's time that we really stop taking for granted the level of player we've got. And maybe Tottenham fans already know this anyway. But this is a guy who should be playing and winning trophies, and he's not. And I'm not saying he needs to leave Tottenham necessarily, but now on to his eighth season in a row, scoring double digits in the Premier League. This is no mean feat. And I've been saying it for a while about a lot of players that hit double digits. It's not an easy thing to do in the Premier League. Top strikers come to the Premier League and maybe we'll get 3, 4, 5, 6 goals. To hit double figures season in, season out, as a left winger, it's unbelievable. And when I say he's the top, I mean, for me, in his generation, two-footed player, I've never seen a player like that who can just, I mean, since maybe Cristiano Ronaldo, but even then, just outside of the box, whip it in with his left foot or right foot. It doesn't matter what side you show him down, he's putting it in the back of the net. When I say he's a man for big occasions, scores massive goals against the biggest teams, Man City, Liverpool. And yeah, I think just a player that we will talk about when he's gone, like he was one of the best, maybe one of the Premier League greats. I think the problem with him will be that he hasn't won a trophy and hasn't won the Premier League. 31 years old, does he then move? I think probably the last season at Tottenham for him until he really has to go and do what Harry Kane did and try and find a trophy elsewhere. Already a Tottenham legend, already a Premier League legend, but better still, an absolute credit to his profession as a professional footballer. Son Heung-min, what a legend. Okay, guys, let's do my team of the week. As you know, regular listeners, my team of the week does not include any players that I haven't seen play the full 90. I need to have watched the game. Can't be doing Garth Crooks level teams of the week where you've put Ruben Diaz at right wing back and Dom Solanke at left back. Like, these are players that I've seen actually play live, and I stick to a 4-3-3. So starting off in goal is the only goalkeeper it could have been this week. It's Kelleher. At right back, Archie Gray. Centre back, Virgil van Dijk. Alongside him, Otamendi. At left back, Theo Hernandez. Central midfield, Pellegrini. Also, Ederson. And finally, that midfield completed by Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall. Right wing, I've gone Bukayo Saka. Left wing, I've gone Rafa Leao. And striker, I've gone Kai Havertz. That's my team of the week. Standout performance for me, I'd probably say, is Kelleher. For a goalkeeper that is used so sparingly in the absence of Alisson, doesn't he have show up in the biggest moments? A couple of top draw saves that if it was Alisson during that cup final, I think we all would have been screaming about it. But Kelleher, we had it at Man United where we had De Gea as, you know, the number one. No one was knocking him off that top spot. But we had Romero that filled in when De Gea was injured, or if it was a Europa League game or a cup game. And Romero was an unbelievable goalkeeper to bring in. One of the best number twos in the world at the time. I think Kelleher has got a good shout. I mean, look, there's better goalkeepers than him. But for just personality-wise, his mentality to come in big occasions, and it's not the first time he's done it for Liverpool, and turn up and perform. You know, Alisson, top goalkeeper, but Kelleher, not a bad number two, is it? But yeah, had to go in there, had to be my number one pick as well. I actually think it's worth talking about Theo Hernandez. I've been speaking to one of my mates who also watches a lot of Serie A, watches a lot of Milan games. Theo Hernandez, I think, and we think, is the best left back in the world currently. It's not a position that's overflowing with candidates, but I think Theo Hernandez is the best, not just attacking, but he's also a great defender as well. Left backs, left wing backs and fullbacks are ass a lot of these days, not just defensively, but attacking wise. He provides the numbers in goals. He is composed at the back and he's absolutely lightning quick. So really difficult to get behind, especially with Milan. You know, you're not going to get loads of support from the likes of Rafa Leao down that left wing, but Theo Hernandez doesn't seem to bother him. And yeah, been an absolute brilliant player for Milan since they brought him in. And yeah, I actually think he's got to be the best left back in the world currently. I think if he was at Man City, people would be talking about something a little bit different like he is. But Theo Hernandez, if you haven't seen him, go and watch him play. Another shout out I do want to say, and do you know what? Kai Havertz, I'll give him loads of stick because I'm not having him as an Arsenal. He shouldn't be at Arsenal. He shouldn't have been at Chelsea. But seems to be getting the best out of himself this season, almost like the Joker of the pack. It's a weird thing to describe, but I think that game against Newcastle on the weekend, I thought he was really, really good. Not just like, you know, he scored his goal and whatever, I think he got an assist, but all-round play was pretty good as a centre forward, something that he's not done all season, really. He's been dropping a lot deeper. Thought Kai Havertz was really good. If he can get a bit of confidence together and somehow replicate that Leverkusen form. I remember watching him at Leverkusen thinking, this guy is something else. And then he's come to Chelsea and he's an absolute donkey, let's be honest. He's been terrible for Chelsea, then managed to score the winning goal in the Champions League final. I can't put my finger on him. He's one of the strangest players. But Kai Havertz, yeah, I thought I had a really good performance. He's not the answer to Arsenal's striker problems, but could he be a fix while they try and push for the title? Look, their goals are going to come from everywhere, particularly from set pieces. Can Kai Havertz maybe chip in with another 5 between now and the end of the season? Could that see Arsenal push for the title maybe? I don't know. The feeling is, I think with a lot of pundits and a lot of fans, that if Arsenal had a striker, a top level striker, they'd probably win the league. One of the most impressive performances overall that I've seen from Mikel Arteta's men on the weekend against Newcastle. It was almost like they made Newcastle look like they were bottom three or four team. They barely got out of their half. Arsenal dominated him, pressed them, and that's all down to Mikel Arteta. I'm not saying that Arsenal have got a bad side, but they haven't got the most, you know, they haven't got the best right back in the league or the best left back in the league or the best central midfielder in the league. None of their positions really are occupied by the top of the top in the league. But yeah, Mikel Arteta, tactically, I think is arguably the best, if not top three in the league. There's no one that comes close to Pep Guardiola, but probably Mikel Arteta is probably not far behind. But yeah, really good performance from Havertz. Thought he was really good. I also want to call on another pick of mine. Lastly, Dewsbury Hall. Remember when Gabby Agbonlahor was asked who's better, Mateo Kovacic or Kiernan Dewsbury Hall? And he went, I'm going to go Dewsbury Hall. And everyone laughed at him, myself included. I'm not saying that he's right, but Dewsbury Hall's something else. I mean, look, he's the best, probably the best player in the championship, I would say. And every time I watch him, he's just class on the ball. I don't think he's not going to be a championship player for long. He's probably going to be in the Premier League next season, but could he do better than Leicester? I think he probably could. I think you could put him in one of the top six teams, personally. I think he's that good. Yeah, I thought I had to give him a mention. Thought he was absolutely brilliant against Leeds. Obviously, they went on to lose, but up until that 82nd minute goal, I thought he was really, really good, the standout performer for me. Right, okay, let's do a two lies and a truth, the part of the show where I tell you three crazy stories. Two of them are lies, one of them is true in the world of football. You have to guess which one is the true story. Starting off with story number one. MK Dons veteran Dean Lewington has now completed a clause in his original contract that presents him with 3% ownership of the club after completing 20 full seasons. Story number two. Jesse Lingard has reportedly invested in an aquarium in Seoul, South Korea, where he is now currently playing his football. Or is it story number three? Wayne Rooney has revealed he applied to Nottingham Trent University to study criminal law. Three stories, two are lies, one is true. Guess which one, and I'll tell you the answer at the end of the show. Right, guys, let's do my weekend treble. Last week's weekend treble came flying home. If you have been tracking the progress, the idea was that I was going to do a treble, low stakes every week. If you want to put a 10 on it, put a 10 on it. And then by the end of the season, see if we're in profit. We are 5 weeks now since the first one, and we are up by £19.13. So if you were backing that with a grand every week, you would be 190. You'd be 1900 quid up. Right, back it with a grand. Done. I'm going to get pulled on YouTube for saying that. Don't back it. Gambling's wrong. To be honest with you, I don't even back it. I'm not betting. But it's my idea of anyone who kind of just wants to follow along with the show. Can I help you out? Can I reward you with my average ball knowledge and try and get you a bit of money for actually watching the show? If you had been doing it, that you'd be 1900 quid up. Last week's selections, yes, they all came in. This week's selection number one, Marseille over 1.5 goals against Clermont. Selection two is Tranmere to beat Sutton United. And the third one is Plymouth versus Ipswich over 2.5 goals. This week, £10 returns you £50. It's a bit of a rogue selection, but because we're up, I feel like we can go a little bit riskier. £10, £50 back. Look, don't be crazy. Don't be backing it with a grand. That's just ridiculous. But if you really, really trust me, then back it with £1 million. Keep it responsible, lads, and we'll see where we're at the end of the season. Right, what has happened this week? Let's have a little recap, give you some of my thoughts on what's happened. The Klopp situation, I said it at the start of the show, putting all his kids out and beating that Chelsea team. What I would say is Chelsea had a side full of youngsters as well. The average age of that starting 11 was definitely lower than the average age of the Liverpool side. So the narrative has been written as it's Klopp's kids, when in fact both of them were kids. But there's a difference. Liverpool's kids were academy products, maybe had one or two games each between them, just coming on, no experience whatsoever, and playing in a League Cup final. Whereas Chelsea's youngsters have been playing pretty much all season, and half of them cost 150 million quid. So there is a big difference for me. What Klopp did there, I think they weren't a better team, they weren't better players, but what has won out in that final is a better manager. And Pochettino, I actually have never said that personally I dislike him. I actually really rate what he did at Tottenham. But at Chelsea, something is not clicking. He has not got these players playing for him. And that was the difference in that final. Klopp had those players playing for him. Pochettino did not have that same respect from the players. And look, I think it's probably a situation that, given time, maybe 2 years, Pochettino could figure out. I don't know how Todd Bowley's going to be in terms of giving him and his managers time. The previous regime under Abramovich didn't give managers any time, and we would have seen Pochettino sacked long gone, probably about 2 months ago by now. But he's obviously being given a little bit of a chance, and I think he can turn it, but he won't be able to turn it within the next 6 months, I don't think. And if he gets anything out of them by next season, I'd be shocked. But there are some real players in that team. Enzo Fernandez, I'm a massive fan of Enzo Fernandez. Raheem Sterling, I think, has still got a part to play in the Premier League. The centre-backs, Colwill, De Sassi, I think really good players. There's a mixture of really great talent, but there's also a mixture of just overrated dross. And for me, Moises Caicedo, I mean, I cannot believe anyone's paid 100 million, 150, whatever he costs. That is the most shocking transfer of all time I've ever seen. It was madness that Liverpool were also competing to put that sort of money down as well. They must be thinking, wow, because they've ended up getting Endo, who's twice the player that Caicedo is. Enzo Fernandez, like I said, he's a great signing. But then you've also got players. I mean, Mudryk, what does he do? I really liked it. I seen him play for Shakhtar and I seen him play for Ukraine. And I thought, youngster, full of talent, I mean, could be great. This is the sort of player that would have cost you 15, 20 million. And even then, it probably would have been a risk for the big clubs to go for him. And this is about 10 years ago. All of a sudden, he's now on an 8-year contract costing 100 million or whatever he was, 90 million. I don't even know how much it was. It was ridiculous. How? I mean, look, they're not getting away with it. I was going to say, how are they getting away with it? They're not getting away with it. And I think all football fans are like, we'll look at that Chelsea team and go, you deserve exactly what you're getting. And I think even Chelsea fans would be looking at that team and going, do you know what? We deserve it. This is not how you conduct business. Todd Bowley's never seen these players play, appointed himself as the director of football when he first started at Chelsea. The guy didn't know a thing about football, and now he's just playing, I don't even know what he's playing at, but given these players 8-year contracts, it must be a financial strategy that has been well thought out, because otherwise he would not have invested that level of money into it. But from a football point of view, it's just awful. And I really wanted Chelsea to win that cup final on Sunday. I'm gutted they didn't. But I'm actually not gutted. I'm more angry that they didn't. And just what a letdown. Liverpool deserved it. Klopp deserved it. Can't stand Jurgen Klopp, but he deserved it. And, you know, we're going to paint that narrative now till the rest of the season, singing Klopp's praises and bowing down to him. And I am just not going to be here for it. I'm going to ignore everything. Everything I say, I'm going to ban the word Klopp. I'm going to mute the word Klopp on all my social media platforms because I can't stand it. But yeah, brilliant from Jurgen Klopp. Absolutely fantastic. On the other side, Man United fans were obviously disappointed. For me, I'm at the point where I want to see the manager leave. And I'm not saying sack him. He's never going to walk out on his own. But the ideal situation, if you're Ten Hag, is to look at it and go, do you know what? I've done as much as I can do. I've won a trophy. It's not bad. I'm going to leave and I'm going to let someone else take over, because the players, he cannot get a tune out of them. And I actually watch the games, and every game I'm watching them, I'm thinking, it's almost like someone's gotten the 11 together and gone, go and do whatever you want. Because we've talked about it and it's the beaten track, but there's no patterns of play. There's nothing that resembles a style of play. every time we play, it's almost like the United midfield is non-existent. I don't know where they end up. Bruno Fernandes, Kobbie Mainoo, doesn't matter who you put in there. Great top players. There's like, they don't know their role. And we're getting cut open like a hot knife through butter against the most average teams. I watched us play against Sheffield United this season, away at Bramall Lane. And I watched the worst side in the Premier League, by the way, Sheffield United, outplay us. I know we won in the end, but the only reason we do win games is individual quality. Outside of that, if no one's stepping up and banging one in the top corner, what do? We just get battered. Equalised late on, but even, I mean, I barely celebrated that. And then, you know, the same thing happened against Wolves. They break down the other end of the pitch and then they score. Where's the in-game management? What is Erik ten Hag doing or saying to these players? Because it seems like he's not saying anything. So I'm at that stage where I would honestly, I'd put anyone. I even jokingly said I'd put Sean Dyche in. And honestly, just get someone in who can put a team out that knows what they're doing, that can be defensively resolute and not just be open. I mean, I saw a stat this weekend. We've conceded more shots than anyone else in the league bar Luton. So we're 19th in shots conceded. So what are we doing? Our defence, our attack, and this is the chasm, the difference between what Mikel Arteta did on the weekend against Newcastle to what Erik ten Hag put out against that Fulham side is massive. It's giant. These two managers at the top of their game, we need a manager like Mikel Arteta who can put a team out and press and win a game by absolutely smothering the opposition. This is what Man United should be. You know, dominating possession. Yes, we played a lot of years playing counter-attacking football, but we should be able to do both. We can't control a game and it's pathetic. It's honestly sad to see. And when we score those late goals, you always know that the opposition's going to get a chance, even if there's 30 seconds left to play and it's the 98th minute and we're conceding. The Wolves game, we got lucky. The Villa game, we got lucky. The Brentford game, we got lucky. And all these are 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. And I'm ranting, I know, but it's stressful. But I'm at that point where top four for me would be an absolute fluke if we got there. We don't deserve it. Top six, maybe. If we get fifth and end up in the Champions League, what's even the point? Because we'll go crashing out like we did this season. For me, change of manager. That's where I'm at. Okay. Right, let's do our two lies and a truth answer. We went through the three stories, but I'm going to go through them again for you for anyone who can't remember. The first story was MK Dons veteran Dean Lewington has now completed a clause in his original contract that presents him with 3% ownership of the club after completing 20 full seasons. Jesse Lingard was the second story. He reportedly invested in an aquarium in Seoul in South Korea after moving there this season. I mean, you don't believe that, do you? Wayne Rooney has revealed he applied to Nottingham Trent University to study criminal law. And I'm sure you don't believe that one either. That was the third story. The real story, the true story, was, of course, Wayne Rooney. Yeah, he apparently has got a fascination with criminal law. And the reason I found out about this, I was watching The Overlap with Gary Neville. Brilliant show, apart from when, for some reason, Jill Scott's on it. And Wayne Rooney was describing how when he was in the whole Colleen Rooney, Agatha Christie saga, he was trying to give his own Colleen's barrister advice and telling him what to say, which was mad. And yeah, apparently he applied to go and study at Nottingham Trent University, but then ended up in DC and playing for DC United and coaching. So it didn't come through, but apparently he's got a massive interest in it. I can't imagine that, Wayne Rooney at uni, but he's actually an intelligent lad. When you listen to him speak, I think a lot of Scousers get a bad rap because of the accent and you think they can't be intelligent. And Wayne Rooney, I mean, he's done a lot of stupid things, but yeah, got a great philosophy of the game. Obviously an intelligent footballer on the pitch as well. And yeah, really interested in criminal law, apparently. Okay, fan capture goal of the week. To just further my depression, every week I give you a goal that has been captured by a fan at a game, because you always capture something a little bit different when it's on your phone. And I hate bringing a phone out at a game, but some of the things that it catches have been absolutely amazing. This one this week comes from Maynard Monua. he captured Fulham's opener at Old Trafford this week. Enjoy. Right, guys, end of the show time. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Couple of shout outs. Connor Steele, thank you so much for all of your likes and shares. Really appreciate it. Liam Edgar, all the time. You're always liking all our videos. I really appreciate that. I don't know your real name, Chris, but at Chris Ruboy, always on TikTok, liking our stuff. Really appreciate that. James Duncan, ran into James this week, used to work with this guy, and he told me that he likes watching my episodes in the bath. Appreciate that. And also while he's on the toilet. Also, a big shout out to Vince Norris for coming with us last week and helping us set up for the Will Evans episode. And Brandon Warren, Frank Charles, Tom Jordan, everyone who every single week likes our video and helps the algorithm. Really appreciated. Thank you. Your support doesn't go unnoticed. Anyone else who wants to get involved in the show, make sure subscribe wherever the subscribe button is, like the episode on YouTube. That really helps. We get no views on YouTube. Everyone listens. No one wants to see our face, not surprisingly, but we do appreciate it. We've got a few guests coming up over the next couple of weeks. Really exciting things happening with Goalpost TV. And hopefully by next season, this will be something where you will see a new guest, a new footballer, a musician, someone different on every week. So yeah, please look forward to that and make sure you stay tuned. And hopefully we see you next week. Make sure you join us, you subscribe, you like, and you do all the things that I ask you to do every week, because it really helps, genuinely. Have a great week. Thank you. Cherish these days before it's too late. And look closely to see what happens here as Rocker Blocker Blickin' Blockin' Flickin'. And look closely to see what happens here as River Plate take on Boca Juniors.